Hey everybody, it's Corey Mosley, and this is the Fearless Entrepreneurship Podcast, strategy, testimony, and real talk for all things entrepreneurship. And it starts right now. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another edition, another episode of the Fearless Entrepreneurship Podcast, where I'm talking to movers and shakers, people on the come up, people that you need to know about that are on the entrepreneurship journey. As always, I'm Corey Mosley, and I've got another great guest in the studio with us today. Now, this guy is your trusted real estate advisor. He's one of the hottest guys in the market right now in the Richmond, Virginia market. If you're in RVA, you need to be knowing this guy if you want to know anything that has to do with real estate. I'm talking to John Bibbs with CSG Commonwealth Solutions Group, part of the United Real Estate Group. Mm-hmm. Did I say that right?
United Real Estate Richmond. That's our brokerage.
Okay. Yep. I love it. Well, I'm super excited to have you here. Now, you're here for a couple different reasons. One, mm-hmm. you're also the host of a new show in Richmond on the RVA Small Business Network called It's Your Home.
Yep.
So we want to talk about that, and we want to talk about some other things because we go back about 20 years here.
Yeah. Let's not.
I always I always love having people on the podcast that I've known for years because I also can see the growth, mm-hmm. right? I've seen the different iterations mm-hmm. over time of a lot of these people, as with me, as with my own growth. So mm-hmm. I wanted to have you on because you're doing some smart things. You're doing some progressive things in the real estate game because there's no shortage of real estate agents.
Yeah.
But these guys and girls that are not on the program, that are not working this social media, that are not TikToking, the people, nobody's watching. Nobody's making a housing decision based on something they see on TikTok. That would be wrong.
That would be very wrong.
So I want to talk about that and your evolution here because I've known you for years. You know, you're an educator also. Mm-hmm. You have music. Mm-hmm. You're a published. We wouldn't call it published. What would we call it? Published.
That's
fair.
We call it
publishing books. But
yeah.
You've got several albums available on iTunes, and music has been a long passion of yours. Mm-hmm. So just kind of give everybody, let's just start with the John Bibbs origin story.
Well, I mean, native of Richmond, Virginia, grew up here going to private schools, and you and I met when I was making my transition into public schools in Richmond.
Public/private.
Yeah, it was.
We were the smart kids.
Yeah, we were the smart kids.
Let's not get it twisted. We needed letters of recommendation.
Correct.
We had to take a psych test.
Correct.
To get into this school.
Correct.
So it was publicly funded with private funds.
I don't know how half of those people passed a psych evaluation. But
no doubt.
And maybe I shouldn't talk because I only stayed at the school a year. But
two.
but I grew up here, went to high school here, and I went away to Hampton University to study history education. And while I was there, I really fell in love with the process of recording music. And being a college student, I didn't have any money. And I wanted to step out into this music world. This was at the real zenith of the neo soul movement.
Okay.
And
that's like Music Soul Child.
Yep. Jill Scott, Maxwell,
Erykah Badu,
D'Angelo, all those folks. And so I had to figure out a way to market my music and get my name out without having bank to be able to back that up. So I spent my free time reading books about marketing, reading books about graphic design, web design, and teaching myself how to be a one-man marketing agency for myself. And that's how I grew my music career.
Yeah.
My last studio album released in 2012, and that it ranked number 11 on the iTunes R&B charts and number 14 wow. on the Amazon R&B charts. And, you know, I'm really proud of that journey because that's not too bad for a kid that started in his college dorm room. Messing around, and this is before we had all the tools that we
have
now.
You couldn't go viral.
No, there was no viral
in that same way. Yeah,
man.
For sure.
So I started doing the music thing, and my mom lured me into actually becoming a teacher with a paycheck because I was living a starving artist life.
Right.
My mom said, listen, you got this music background. Come teach a class once a week. Mm.
Now, let's not skip over that. Now, your mom saying that, legendary educator, founder of a school. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just gloss over
that's
that.
Right. That's right.
She didn't just call you up and say, hey, come to Joe Blow Elementary School.
Yeah. Right? She started. Yeah. She called me to teach at a school that she founded in 1983. Mm. That school was Richmond Prep, and she asked me to come in and start teaching music classes. So I started doing that. And it was the slow reeling. She was very, very crafty. So she was, you're here one day a week. Why don't you help out with collecting some tuition? You're here a day a week. What's one more day a week? Why don't you help with some administration? We can pay you some more money. Before I knew it, I was running the operation. And she put the choice in front of me. I can close it or you can continue this. And so I took over the leadership of the school in 2008. In the time that I led the school, we grew exponentially, and you know it was a real blessing in terms of learning myself as a leader.
Sure,
learning
by fire.
Yeah,
right. You didn't get to go to the Disney Institute of Leadership, graduate from that, then go into a middle management role and work your way up. Yep. Right, this was here are the keys.
Yeah,
I gotta go.
Very much so. Right. Very much so, and not without my mistakes, not without my failures, but we were able to grow the school. And over the 40 years that Richmond Prep existed, we served thousands of children in Richmond. And I think that's something for not just me, but my family to be proud of.
100%.
So I transitioned from that here in 2021 into the real estate
pandemic
business. Pandemic transition.
Right. So you got the bright idea to go into real estate in the middle of a pandemic. Not out of the pandemic.
Right.
The mid 2020 to 2022 was the pandemic.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And I think I was looking for something that would use the transferable skills that I had from my work in the music industry and my work in the school arena. I think being in real estate gives the opportunity to add some personal counsel and deep level connection with people.
Right.
But marketing and communication are core to the role.
Sure.
So that's what attracted me to the industry. Mm. And so in 2022, we really launched CSG as a real estate sales team that centers relationships and efficiency and technology in ways that I've not seen other real estate agents, especially in our market, do. And that's how I got to where I am right now.
Now, you've obviously taken, we're talking here because I've also watched the approach that you've taken, right? Mm-hmm. Because again, million real estate agents, I mean, for most, it's a commodity within itself, so to speak, right? I mean, I could, in our office, there's three stories to this office building here. Mm-hmm. Other than you right now and a few other people we have in the studio, I could walk down the halls and find a real estate agent.
Easily.
And this is not a real estate firm in this building, right? Yeah. But somebody's got the license. Somebody's, on the side or doing this or doing that. But your real attitude about this has been, let's go to market. Let's go to the people. I don't see you at a lot of networking things because for me, I believe most of those people just love to have breakfast and hear some talk. We've talked about that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right. So let me get a bagel, and then they wax poetic for 45 minutes or an hour. Nobody's doing any real work. I'm sure I'll get some push. sure somebody will say something
get
about
mail.
This. Yeah, but it's just what I believe. You're going to the people, right? You're going to TikTok. You're going to Instagram. You're going to Thread now, and really going to them and saying, "Hey, here's what we do. Here's what we do differently. And here's an innovative way to look at a listing, right? Even talk to us a little bit about just kind of your entrepreneurship approach to that, because the real estate business is, if you're not going to do it, it ain't going to get done.
Correct.
Right? Mel Robbins has a video that went viral about no one's coming.
They're not.
No one's coming to save you. No one's coming to solve your problem. You have to do it. And if there is any industry like that, it's real estate industry.
Yep. Yeah. And so many agents approach this industry expecting someone to hold their hand or somebody to, you know, onboard them. And it's just not going to happen.
What do you mean I can't just go to one place and get 17 people coming to sell, want me to sell their house?
Well, that's what people really come to the industry thinking. And if I'm going to be honest, I thought coming into the industry that I was going to have a deluge of business as soon as I got started, too. I mean, everybody thinks that initially.
Well, so, and this is cool. And I've shared this with you privately, but I think it's great conversation for the podcast. I got that email from you 3 years ago, whenever it was. Hey, I'm doing real estate. And I remember looking at that email going, there's no way I'm going to take someone who is just getting started. Mm-hmm. I wasn't selling or buying at that point. But I'm saying to myself, dude, get in line.
Yeah.
Join the other 27 people that I know that are realtors and have been realtors for years. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't – this guy would not be the first person I call – this isn't just a relationship thing, right? Yep. So it's not, oh, I've known him 20 years, right? This is my house. This is, you know, my house.
This is your money.
Right, correct. This is my house. You can argue, you can debate whether a home is an investment or not. We can talk about that on a different episode. but this is serious, right? So it's like going to roll, go in the back of the file of like ninth man down the totem pole.
Yep.
Now, obviously 3 years later, sales later, seeing the activity, seeing now. Mm-hmm. Of course, I have a different opinion, but time has to create That's right. Also, but you also have proved the point that we beat the drum on now with Thought Leadership Studios and the things we're doing with video interviews, that showcasing your authority and explaining to people. Because if I go on your social media right now, I can see you're educating people. You showcasing your authority, you're increasing trust by telling people and explaining to people what you're putting your expertise on display.
See, the thing for me, Corey, is one of the big aha moments that I had over the last 5 to 8 years is that the social media space is not this nebulous thing. It is a place. And we have to think of it as a place, just like many of the people you were just talking about in our market tend to think of these breakfasts as place.
Yeah.
No, social media is a place, and it is the place where the people are.
Right.
And so we have to insert ourselves into that place and understand it as a place and engage in communication there. And I think that marketing in social media is so helpful because you get to bypass all of the gatekeepers. You get to bypass a lot of the filters that keep people from traditionally getting to the consumer. So I decided that I was going straight to social media because I had already seen the feedback and the response that I had gotten from the music industry.
Right.
And I had seen how they'd grown that. And social media was a huge driver in the growth of Richmond Prep. So I had seen these things, and so it was just second nature for me.
And there's a million realtors already at the breakfast.
Everybody's entrenched
themselves and ingrained themselves in the marketplace already.
Yeah.
So you're almost not even in the game if you go to XYZ meeting and you're like, oh, well, I'm with, you know, CSG Realty. Oh, okay, great. There's Remax. There's this one and that one over there. So this creates that new opportunity. And I learned something a long time ago from Grant Cardone where he said you use social media. You don't have to consume social media.
That's right.
And I think that's what a lot of people get wrong when you go, oh, you know what? I don't want to really, I'm not into that Facebook and Instagramming and stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. Correct. Now, you want to sit and watch videos all day, which, you know, we're all guilty of at some point. Ask any of my team that gets loaded up on videos from me. I'm owed to my producer recording this right now. He knows he's loaded up. But they get that wrong. They're not thinking tactically about it also. And you could get on, tactically execute, and then go about your day. You don't have to get caught in the loophole, right, of doing it. And that's just something I've seen you attack. And I love the fact that you understand EBM, educational-based marketing. And you're answering those questions that people have. We've had Marcus Sheridan on the RVA Small Business Network, and you know, he talks about building your content based on the questions that your customers are asking the marketplace.
Yep.
right? So I've seen your videos about interest rates and about, you know, equity and about just these different factors. And I think that's been, I think, a game changer overall for your business and in terms of your approach to that. What were the first, you know, what were the first 6 months like?
This was
fearless, right? Right.
So, the first six months of being a real estate agent were very disheartening for me. I mentioned that I expected to have this deluge of business.
Right. Oh, John selling real estate.
I got a license. Yeah, yeah. Let's go. Bring the money. You know. And, right. So I felt badly about that. But also, this is something that actually drove me toward creating the CSG brand. Mm. I was in a brokerage.
Did you ever want to quit?
Yeah.
Did you think about quitting?
Often.
Okay.
Often. Yeah. Because when you're becoming a real estate agent is not cheap. It costs money to do this.
Right.
And when you're looking at that money going out the door, and 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months go by, and it's where are my transactions?
Right.
Of course.
Try building a network.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. You know, you feel that pain,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
But I think what drove me toward creating a CSG brand was two things. Number one, I chose to do what I knew how to do when I started the business. I didn't know much about being a realtor. I took the test. I got my license, but you don't learn how to be a realtor. You learn how to not go to jail when you get your license.
Right.
So you have to take the time after you get your license to really learn the practice of being a real estate agent. So while I'm doing that, I said, well, I know how to brand.
Yeah.
I know how to communicate. I know what social media looks like. I know how to paint the picture. So let me start there.
Right.
And then once I started there, interestingly enough, Nick Green, who's another member of our team, he saw what I was doing and was like, hey, I want to be a part of that.
Mm.
And then other people started. So when I wound up leaving that brokerage and four people left the brokerage with me within the first 9 months of me being in the business.
Wow. Well, because progressive people, the saying is, right, a fisherman sees other fishermen, right, from afar. So progressive people saw someone else doing something progressive. But also I find in institutional industries like real estate, insurance, these things, you have a group of people who go, you know what, this isn't moving fast enough. And not necessarily transactionally, but progress.
Yeah.
I come from the auto industry. Mm-hmm. Generally 5 years behind everything else everybody was doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I laugh with some of my old clients now about the time when we used to install software on the computers at their dealership so you couldn't go on social media. And we were proud of that. Like, try to go on YouTube from here, see what happens. And, you know, you type it in and come up blocked, right? So you, in these industries, you have... And it's not just about age, because I know 60-year-old agents who are banging on social media, who are out there, who are doing these things. It is about mindset, and it is about seeing that just because something is a certain way doesn't mean it has to stay that way, right?
Yeah, it is about being willing to be a disruptor.
Yeah.
And it's also about being willing to take the risk and experiment with something.
And lose people who aren't for you.
Yep.
And gain people who are.
Yep.
And that's probably the most interesting thing, right? Is everyone's afraid to isolate, alienate. And I'm not talking about the cancel culture stuff at that scale, but just in general. Oh, you know, I don't want to say, you know, there's a big thing like rent where you should rent out the home and rent somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Like there's controversial things that people don't want to say because they don't want to alienate people.
Mm-hmm.
But what you often find is that you will detract people who aren't your people to begin with. Mm-hmm. So someone who isn't social media friendly, doesn't have upbeat energy, that wants a more dry, plain old kind of process might not be for you, right?
That's fine.
You know, I go into a place, I say something funny, and the other person doesn't laugh. I realize they ain't for me.
That's it.
Right? Because if you don't have that sense of humor, you're getting tight or twisted about what I'm saying, and you obviously are not a good connection for me, whether as a client or someone to be a friend with either, right?
Yeah.
So I think it creates this attract, detract where people go, this guy, but more importantly, I beat the drum on putting yourself out there with the expertise, is I can watch one of those videos and go, this guy knows what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
This guy could help me.
Mm-hmm.
I trust this guy to help me sell my home.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, tell me if you agree with this, that this also creates the power to overtake the relationship that you might have that's lukewarm with somebody else.
That's right.
My neighbor who 9 houses down is a real estate agent.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to maybe re-engaging with you,
mm-hmm.
they might have been my default person to mm-hmm. think about because I know them personally.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know their expertise. I can't see them demonstrate their expertise because they've poo-pooed social media. They've poo-pooed doing videos, being in interviews, and doing those kinds of things. And I think we've been taught so long that the referral is powerful. And I have colleagues whose life's work is referrals.
Mm-hmm.
But I challenge the idea that that repetitive nature also of social media and your ability to go deep and demonstrate
mm-hmm.
will make people forget about their neighbor and forget about even the person that might have helped them with whatever the last time.
Yeah,
What are your thoughts on that?
Even when you talk about the referral business, right? So what we fail to understand is people refer all the time people that they've never done business with.
Yes.
That's the part that we don't think about. So
do you get those LinkedIn? Hold on, okay. Do you get those LinkedIns where I'll link in with somebody and then they'll send me some message and they're like, oh, you know, let me know who I can introduce you to in my network. And I'm like, why in God's name would you be offering me up to people that you know in your network and I don't even know you?
I don't even know you.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm more skeptical. That's not like, oh, wow, what a great thing to do.
It seems scammy.
I'm like,
Yeah, it seems very scammy. Mm. But the reverse works very well.
Mm.
So what I see often is people will tell others, they haven't done a transaction with me, but they've seen my YouTube videos.
Right.
They've seen my Instagram videos. Yep. They see the blogs that I write. And they say, hey, my friend called me and said,
yes,
I'm thinking about buying a house. You're the first person that came to mind.
Yes.
And
it
keeps you front of
mind. Not the only realtor they know.
Right.
The first person that came to mind.
You want to be front of mind. That's what that's what matters. And that's where I think social media is so powerful because it gives you the thought process of always being on people's mind. Corey, I'm going to tell you something that's hilarious and you might edit it off of the podcast. But
no, I don't think I will. Let's go.
A couple years ago, I started talking about people being ashy on Facebook.
Okay.
Okay. So on the show, on the Facebook
page. Ashy as in not wearing lotion.
Yes. Exposed dry skin. Right? So on Facebook, I railed against ashiness for weeks.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So it's to the point. Now, I did that 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
Okay?
People still talking about it?
Last week, my friend posts on Facebook, I put on shorts today for the first time in 10 years, and all I could think about was John Bibb saying, don't be ashy. Front of mind.
Yeah.
When we drill things into people's minds, that's how we build brands. And when we're constantly in front of people, then we keep our name at the forefront of their thoughts and whatever industry we're in.
So, folks, the technical term of that, let me give you, so it's a teachable moment. The technical term for what John is talking about is TOMA, which stands for top of mind awareness. That is the technical marketing term of what he's talking about creating that top of mind awareness. So someone might not be a buyer today.
That's right.
But 90 days, 6 months, a year from now, when they connect with whatever that action they want to take or what they want to buy, they think of you.
That's right.
Yeah. John, craziest entrepreneurship moment so far?
I think the craziest thing was dealing with payroll at my school.
Okay.
So
that could be scary. Trust and believe that.
Listen, everybody, you know, you look on the internet and you see everybody calling themselves a CEO.
Oh, sure.
And I'm like, hey,
oh, sure.
Have you ever had to make a payroll?
Right.
Because if you haven't.
Right.
I'm going to holler at you later. Talk to me once you've had that experience.
That's right.
But there was this summer a few years ago where we were really trying to figure out how we were going to make it at the school.
Mm.
And it was the day before payroll was supposed to go out, and I was about 75% short of what, and I had to really think on my feet about how you're going to solve this problem. And that's one of the things that I love about entrepreneurship. It is this ride, right? And it is all of these challenges, but you really get to see what you're made of in this field. Are you going to punk out?
That's right.
Back down, give up, or are you going to put more skin in the game, step up, think creatively, and find solutions? In that situation, I wound up coming up with a creative way to get people to prepay.
Yeah.
To take care of it. And within 5 hours, I had solved the problem, which was many thousands of dollars that I needed the next day. And that experience definitely kind of grew me up as an entrepreneur. And that was very eye-opening to see, hey, man, there are no problems that are insurmountable.
Right.
It's just a matter of how you are framing your perspective on it.
Yeah. Yeah, you made me think of one of the principles. I call it the Kenny Robin. I call it the Kenny Rogers principle.
Hmm.
Sometimes you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away,
and know when to run.
That's right, for sure. That's right, for sure. So, all right, I want to move to our rapid fire, okay? This is our rapid fire. This is part of the show. Well, I'm just going to ask you a series of questions. You're going to tell me the first thing that comes to mind. Some of these are either or. Some of these you'll just come up with. And we do this segment because we want to give people just insights into how our entrepreneurs operate on a day-to-day basis, right? All right, are you ready?
I guess.
Okay, nothing scandalous, so you'll be good. All right, first
one. You know a lot about me, Corey. Look, so.
Well, wait. I'm laughing about the first question because we've debated this, but number one, PC or Mac?
You know what it is. It's Mac.
Number two, favorite credit card for small business right now?
Spark.
Spark, Capital One?
Yep, Capital One, Spark.
All right, physical planner or digital planner?
Digital.
Okay. Favorite software that you're using right now to manage your business?
Notion.
Starbucks, Dunkin', or other?
Nespresso.
Nespresso. Okay, that would be other. He had to get that plug in from Nespresso, though. All right. Thank you card or thank you email?
Card.
Card. Books, hardcover, tablet, or audiobook?
Hardcover.
What's your next big goal?
15 agents on the CSG team.
And what timeline are you giving yourself to do that?
1 year.
Final question. One day with any mentor that's alive, who would that person be?
Gary Keller.
Gary Keller, Southwest Airlines?
Founder of Keller Williams
Real Estate. Oh, okay. Founder of Keller Williams Real Estate. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think we should be able to, he should be accessible. Somebody message me that knows Gary Keller so we can make that happen. We get him on Zoom at least if we can.
I would love that.
All right. It's your final opportunity here. This is your opportunity to join our Hall of Fame or our Hall of Shame. Mm. This is our entrepreneurship trivia question. Last part of the show. All right. Now, you get this right, charity of your choice gets $25 donation.
Okay.
If you get it wrong, you're in the Hall of Shame.
Okay.
All right. A lot riding on this.
No pressure.
All right. Good news is it's multiple choice.
Okay.
All right. Here's your question. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
On average, how often is the manager at a company interrupted? Here are your options. A, every 2 minutes. B, every 8 minutes. Or C, every 15 minutes.
I'm going with 8 minutes.
8 minutes. Is that your final answer?
It is.
John Bibbs, you joined the Hall of Fame.
Let's go.
8 minutes is the correct answer. 8 minutes is the correct answer. What charity that comes to mind that is going to get supported today?
United Way of Richmond.
United Way of Richmond. Okay, that's right. You've heard it, folks. We'll be making a donation to the United Way of Richmond, $25, in honor of John Bibbs getting this correct. John, it was awesome to have you on the podcast.
Thanks, Corey. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me here.
You got it, man. As I close out today's episode, I'm asking that you subscribe to my podcast to get the latest episodes as soon as they are released. If you like what you're hearing, please leave a review. And if not, just keep it to yourself. And if you've heard something today that you think can help someone you know, then I encourage you to share it.